It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. The Drive is live. As I said here, man, we're live here, Home Run Dugout here in Katy. It is Football Friday here, and we are at Home Run Dugout here in Katy, presented by Pepsi. Thank you for joining us. Listen, man, we'll get through this thing. I'm very concerned from some of our listeners. For the people who roll with us, I'm very concerned. With Tyler Milner, this feels like a late night whiskey drinking thing where he's somewhere in the house cussing out things with nobody else around him and just losing his mind.
Yeah, there were a lot of four letter words and bad feelings, and still are this today.
I know it.
Yeah.
I was going to say that hadn't gone. This show will only bring that back up more, but that's all right. We're gonna roll through it, and I kind of want to kick this thing off. By the way. I do want to get that across here. As I said earlier in the crosstalk, Clint, 3 different 4-packs we're hooking people up with to see Casey Donahue. You're familiar. I'm not familiar with Casey Donahue. I'm not gonna lie to you. But you said that's my best
friend Junior.
There you go. That sounds like
he lives 3 trailers down.
Yeah, he's got a little better voice than that, but you're on to something. Drove Me to the Whiskey is probably my favorite Casey Donahue song, but I vibe a little different. But yeah, he's really good. Been around, been doing his thing for a while. Not just great music, but obviously the Texas red dirt, Texas country roots, and he's, like I said, been doing it a while, so he's got a collection where, boy, you can enjoy the hell out of every damn moment of a Casey Donahue concert. So, that's big time, man, for us to be able to give away those tickets. They do it big out here at Home Run Dugout. The whole operation, the food is off the charts. The entertainment on a daily basis from the batting bays where you can get up there and hit, and for the kids, for the adults, for whatever kind of party. Ron, I know your youngster had a party here, and hell, even the adults, you get a little look at a date night out here, man. Yep. You can come out and hang.
Sure did. I came out here and threw my son's 10th birthday party right out here.
There you go.
And enjoyed ourselves here. So, it's a good time. By the way, to be more specific, one, as Clint talked about, very intimate concert venue. Like, you feel like you're right there close to them. So, and they have great concerts here. I know Clint was trying to get out here a couple of times for some shows, but in particular, what we have, we will hook somebody up with a 4-pack of tickets to see Casey Donahue coming up next Friday, February 8th, right here at Home Run Dugout. We also have a four pack of tickets that include VIP table for Casey Donahue, and then the big one, will hook somebody up, Clint, with a 4-pack tabletop to Casey Donahue and a $100 gift card right here to Home Run Dugout. So we've got a lot to hook people up with, not to mention 2 $25 Academy Sports and Outdoor gift cards for you to win as well. So get on out here, put your name in the raffle box, and have yourself a chance to win. You can get right in here, and you come right in, and you can't see us, but right in the front. Also, Clint, I know as soon as you walk in the door to see us, the ultimate tailgate, the ultimate football tailgate package is there for you to get.
Yeah, the Academy Sports and Outdoors Ultimate Football Tailgate Package is big time, y'all. It's a $1,000 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. It's also 2 tickets to our suite for the Christmas Day Baltimore Ravens game, Texans-Baltimore Ravens at NRG Stadium. The Odyssey Suite, which is 610 and all of our sister stations, We've got a great, great crew. It's a hell of a time. They do it right. And that should be a big game. We'll all enjoy it. But you come in, you register for that by scanning the QR code there on the big advertisement right when you walk in the door. That'll get you registered, and then we'll pull a little later on here in the month and get that thing figured out. But a lot of big opportunities today, man.
That's right.
in a sense of not just showing up, hanging out, having a good time. You can win a little something.
Yeah, you can. All right, let's get to it. As I know, you were into the wee hours last night, into the 1 o'clock hour. You and Sean were talking about this loss. The Texans drop to 6-3 as they lose 21-13, and it could have been worse than that. And really, honestly, should have been worse than that. To be frank with you, but I said crisis. Someone was texting in and said, this is DEFCON 1. Is that the appropriate feeling from anybody listening? Those of you on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, the 5-Hour Energy official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Those of you on the text line, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch. Is crisis, is that a fair term? Is it that big of a deal, even though they sit here 6-3, still with a two-game lead, essentially, in the AFC South?
Oh, yeah, look, I think it's fair, and I think it's accurate. This team ultimately needed a wake-up call, and they got it last night on primetime television versus a 2-6 football team. You know, the coasting by and all these damn, we're 6-2, don't worry about it, all these problems can be fixed. You know, we're winning these one-score games. If I hear about, guess what? Last night was a one-score game, Ron. Are we going to be talking about that in a month, about how that's a good thing? That's a great thing.
That one-score game when they dropped a surefire touchdown at the two.
Yeah, man, I'm so sick and damn tired of hearing
you
about one-score games
on second down.
And everything's fixable and all that kind of bull job, man. I'm just so sick and tired of hearing about it. And the scary thing is, Ron, and to me, is what we noticed last night, and we've got enough of a sample size now to be concerned about this, right? We ended yesterday's show, Ron, and I rattled off every member of management from a football perspective with this organization and how they have time and time again told us that everything's fixable and the protection and O-line problems is a lazy take and we're going to stay aggressive.
That's the one that got you.
Yeah, well, you touched me personally on that one right there, because that's just not the case. And then CJ talking about staying aggressive and Bobby Slowick talking about, you know, everybody in the NFL does these things. We just got to execute better. And the problem with that is a lot of people, a lot of organizations say those things to appease the media, right, in the fan base. And then they go back in there behind the walls, and the thought is, the belief is, oh, no, they're back there getting things right. They're back there holding guys accountable. We just can't see it. They just can't. They're just not making it public, right? Well, the reality of it is, Ron, everything that I just said that I've heard coming out of this organization that I mentioned yesterday that I didn't like and I was not comfortable with, it mirrors the product that is Texans football right now. You go out there and you continue to do the same stuff over and over and over again, and you continue to laugh things off, and you continue to talk about it's fixable, and you can talk about holding guys accountable. Really, the only guy that's been held accountable is Kenyon Green at this point in time, and he's injured. And so,
by the way, again, to make that point, Kenyon Green is out for the season with that shoulder situation. So he is. You can't blame Kenyon anymore.
Yeah. So I guess I say all that to say, my biggest concern is what we talked about yesterday in our last segment is exactly what we watched unfold yesterday. We watched the same protection issues once again. We watched the same approach from the quarterback and the play calling standpoint. We watched a defense that we've been worrying about their cover corners or cover defenders go out there and just show man-to-man coverage with guys that you know damn good and well can't run with Devontae Adams. And all of it bit them in the ass to the tune of what should have been a double-digit loss in primetime television to a 2-6 football team.
But to the point that you made, you said that. I don't like what I'm hearing from folks out of the – out of the important voices. Hell, any of the voices. And then after that game, after you walk up there and you get your ass kicked right from the jump to, as I said yesterday, the 15th seed in the AFC entering that game. Only the Tennessee Titans were behind the New York Jets in the AFC. You go out there and get your ass kicked to the tune of 8 sacks and 11 hits and pressures throughout the game, and guys just get beat like they stole something. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers threw for 32 yards in the first half, but it should have been a lot more.
Yeah,
and we'll get to Derek Stingley because I called him out, and Derek was getting worked on them screens. I mean, on them fades, they just didn't complete them. But it comes to the tune of that, and what does Titus Howard say after the game?
Oh, boy, that crawled all up in my skin last night.
Here you go, Tyler. The most frustrating part was we were the better team. We let the game get away from us. On what TV?
On what field?
Not the TV that I watched yesterday. Shout out to Cat Williams. Not the TV that I watched yesterday. You wasn't nobody's better team. What are you talking about? You're delusional ass. I mean, and listen, I like Titus. Titus came through and had the audacity to say the most frustrating part was we were the better team. We let this game get away from us. When he dropped the ball before he scored? When? What are you talking about? But right there, like, you can't even get little stuff fixing. Y'all can't pass protect. Y'all can't do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were the better team.
And again, I mentioned this last night in the postgame pressure because we're an hour and a half. At this point, it was damn near 1 o'clock, so I'm sure everybody was like, I'm tired of this. I'm going to bed. But I saw that tweet, and I was like, it's way off base. And we can go back and talk about Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil and their social media game and how frustrating it is to watch. But to me, it's bigger than that, man. Like if I were D'Amico Ryans, and I'll put it this way: if I were Titus Howard, and D'Amico Ryans walked in and he said what I personally feel like needed to be said of how unacceptable and embarrassing that was on primetime television. There's no way in hell that your offensive lineman, one of the leaders on your team, turns around and tells a member of the media that we were the better team and we let this one get away from us. I mean, the only messaging coming from that locker room should be, we're embarrassed. It's unacceptable. We're a better football team than this. This is a wake-up call, and we can't wait to get back to work to right the ship. Not another piss-poor excuse or some random, we let this thing get away. No, you didn't. You got beat by a 2-6 football team, and you got beat handily.
Yes, and now at least the leader, who I would think of the team, C.J. Stroud, at least he came to the table with what I think is a more realistic thing and a more realistic comment about his assessment, what is happening with the team right now. Here's C.J. Stroud over that embarrassing loss last night to the Jets.
You know, I often, it's hard, to just sit here right now and think about what happened because you didn't watch film yet. But, of course, it's embarrassing. And to come out here on a primetime game and, get embarrassed like that is never fun. I believe we have to be better in a lot of areas. And that starts with me. I think there's plays I got to make, throws I got to make. Times I got to sit in the pocket and just trust my guys. So I really point the finger at me and realize, I got to be better as a football player. And if we want to win, this is not the recipe for it. We got to learn how to dominate and stop learning how to, just go with the flow and play in the fourth quarter. Like, we should be able to, play good in the first half and then roll into the second. I think we got to have a better mindset as a whole.
All right. At least he's bringing it to the table a little bit more with that.
And D'Amico's tone was different too. But here's the deal, Ron. Through all of this, we've heard a different tone. We've heard different messaging in post game. Of course, nobody likes getting embarrassed, and immediately you got to go talk to the media. So yeah, you're going to sense a different tone, and you're going to feel a little something different. The problem with me when it comes to these guys and this particular team is that when they meet with the media on Mondays and Wednesdays, it's like it didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's washed away. We forgot about it.
Oh, yeah. What are you talking about, guys? Yeah, man, we got some problems, but they're all fixable. Yeah,
no, that's, no, the, man. That's the good thing, like, about it. It's fixable.
Like, you're in a spot. That's why, look, this is a legit wake-up call that they needed. Is because there shouldn't be any more giggling. There shouldn't be any more minimizing. There shouldn't be any more excuse-making. There shouldn't be any more. That. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, D'Amico. Like, but there shouldn't be any
more. That wake-up
more.
Call should have been felt before this.
Sure. Well, should have, could have, would
have. We talked about it on here. Hey, it should have been felt before this.
Should have, could have, would have. I ain't never done a damn thing.
And, but that's the concerning part about it, Clint, is do they realistically think it's a wake-up call? Like that, like.
Well, if you don't look, if you just sweep this under the rug, like
you say, Clint, yesterday, the last two games before this one were the most pressures that C.J. Stroud, pressure rate that C.J. Stroud has ever run into. Like, talking 50% of the time.
The last three games are from a pressure rate, from an opponent's defense's ability to pressure C.J. Stroud. The last three games of his are the worst three games of his career. It was I want to say 47% against Green Bay. I want to say 53% against Indianapolis. And last I checked, I think there was one more drive after this, but it was 50+% yesterday against.
Against the Jets last?
Yes, against the Jets. Yeah, and I don't know what it ended up because I didn't check it after the last drive. But nonetheless, I mean, the point that makes to me, I'm not a big advanced stat guy, but look, that tells us all that the problem's getting worse. Like, you're not fixing things by winning a one-score game and then talking about how good you are because you won a one-score game and sweeping everything under the rug and just kind of lollygagging through making the necessary adjustments and fixing the problems. Ron, if this isn't a wake-up call and if I don't hear a different tone, if we don't hear a different tone from the organization, if we don't see things drastically different in this next ball game, I've said this last night, I don't care if it works, right? I would like for it to work as a fan, but I don't care if it works. But the fact that we saw they're pressuring your quarterback last night at a 50+% rate, and we saw one screen, and that screen was on 3rd and 20+, and Tank went and got fit. So it was a throwaway screen. It wasn't even the mindset was just, let me go get a chunk so we can kick a field goal a little bit closer to the. And I think they may have missed the field goal, but anyway, the point being is, like, there's no attempt to counter the pressure that's on the quarterback. There's none. There's none. And there's no adjustments by the quarterback. There's no adjustments by the play caller. There's no screens. There's no quick game. There's no, like, obvious attempt to get the quick game going on. There is I'll be shocked if we don't see some major changes after this week. So I think this week was the wake-up call these cats needed.
As we said, we know Kenyon Green's out. He is out for the season with that injury.
Which is a plus.
Yeah.
I'm not kicking a man when he's down, but even Kendrick Green.
You're talking about on the field. Yes.
Kendrick Green went in there last night. Now, he still got his ass whooped because that Quinnen Williams across the ball from him is a bad man. Now
the good thing is I'm not 100% certain that Kenyon Green would have been benched had he not gotten hurt.
Yeah. Well,
that's the other part about it.
Their hand has been forced at this
now
point.
Now it's been forced,
And Kendrick Green, the thing is there is a skill set. This is something, again, that I think Bobby Slowick has to play into. Just watching what Kendrick Green was able to do last night. His athletic ability is something that you can play to. You know, the pulling, the pinning and pulling stuff that they're doing, that they've actually been better in the run game with the guards pulling, and kicking, the guards pulling and leading up.
Maybe you can use that in protection. Maybe.
Well, they did. They actually did a couple of times last night where he actually pulled. Remember what I showed you on film all you do is block down and then you pull the guard and kick the widest defender that's rushing? They actually did that a couple of times last night. And so, you know, his athletic ability, you can play to that. Right, versus sitting there and asking him to block the likes of Quinnen Williams or whoever the next big stud D tackle is that's coming down the pike, right? Like you can play to those, to that, to his strength. Maybe not, that may not be a strength overall, but it's his strength. You can play to those things. And so, look, I just think the good thing about last night is we should expect drastic changes in tone.
I hope.
Well, we should.
I hope. I'm just saying, and again, before we head out, as we're live here at Home Run Dugout here, and Katie, get on out here. We'll be here to 6 o'clock. Plenty of things for you to win. He is not alone up there in the struggles, as we saw when he left.
Come on.
It was it did not get drastically better. He was not alone in that. All right. We were talking about C.J. Stroud and the quarterback, and clearly he has been affected by what's happened around him. Let's give the grade for C.J. Let's give the grade for C.J. You can text in what your grade was, but C.J. goes 11 for 30. 11 for 30. 191 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 8 rushes for 59 yards, and a critical fumble in the red zone. What was your grade for C.J. Stroud? As we continue on a Football Friday here live at Home Run Dugout, right here live on the Drive.
Guys, it's 6:10 to talk about on the radio.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Home Run Dugout in Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Make your way on out here. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. We've already, Clint and I, during the break, have already tried to talk some people off the ledge. That are losing it right here, man. Go ahead and order you up some good food, man. I know you got them sweet potato fries, man. Go ahead and just go big, man. Go just do what you need to do, man. Just attack this, man. You guys, man, that can't be your last beer. Let's just, you know, just get yourself good in here. But come on out, have a good time. Plenty of prizes for you to win out here. As we've got Casey Donahue tickets to hook you up with, gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoor as well. And then you get to hang out with us as well. And I see people here. Shout out to Toby and Brandon and Guy Gene and Champ and Champ Slice and all the folks that jump out and hang out with us on, Joseph as well on YouTube and Twitch. And those of you on the text line as well. As I said, Clint, you know we do this after each game that the Texans play, kind of the grade of C.J. Stroud. And the reason why I thought this was something to start doing is because we were thinking C.J. this year was going to take a leap. And I, honest to God, walked in and thought second best quarterback in the league may be on the table for C.J. Stroud if the season went right. And he is, to me, coming into the season – the thing that's going to make this thing go, and the reason why the expectations, the number one reason why the expectations were so high. So we grade him after every game. And I see some grades coming in to remind you of his, at least his stats, which doesn't tell the full story. But he went 11 of 30, which is tough because that's what last week, what did Anthony go, 10 for 32? Mm-hmm. That we're in that range. That he'll got him benched, partly got him benched. But he goes 11 for 30, 191 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, 8 rushes, 59 yards, and 1 costly fumble in the red zone. Clint, before we get to the people who have texted in their grades, what's your grade for C.J. last night?
C-.
God, I'm right there.
C-. Look, I think there's – if we're being completely fair, there's things that the starting point matters, right? He's without his top two weapons, and he is under tremendous amounts of pressure consistently.
Just about every right? time.
So, I mean, that's where you start with it. But we talked about it yesterday. The margin of error is so thin for this football team that C.J. Stroud simply has to hit every damn opportunity that presents itself. And whether it's fair or foul, it's reality. And you look at the greats. You look at the guys that are week in, week out, are giving their team a chance to win, overcoming pressures, overcoming
the fixers.
Turnover, the fixers. And these are throws. The throw to Mechie that he missed to Mechie is a throw that the greats make, and it's a highlight reel, and they talk about it for a week. And this is why
one in the end zone?
Yes. This is why this guy is great.
He's wide open, CJ.
Might have been the best protection he had all night.
Yes, that was a huge miss as it pertains to the outcome of the game.
And you can see his reaction. The game. He knew it. He stood.
Yeah, absolutely. Then I look at the mid-game kind of what you would look like, what a lot of people would look at as they're not really that big of a deal, but they really are. The miss to Tank Dell on 1st and 10 down there. I think they ended up missing a field goal when the drive stalled.
Yep.
But 1st and 10, Tank Dell's wide open to the right, and you sell it over his head. It would have been 2nd and 2. You're in the red zone. You're already in field goal range.
Is this the one where they rolled him out away from pressure? And he hit Tank, and he missed Tank on the sideline.
I don't think he was rolling out, but he did miss Tank to the sideline. I don't know. I don't remember if he's rolling out or if he just kind of drifted that direction. But he missed Tank big time to the right. And those are just like, that doesn't seem like much, but when you line up and now you got to go second and ten, you know, say it's second and ten, and you can't protect the quarterback, and all you can do is run it. I don't blame a guy for running a football in that situation. And then you're stuck in third and long, and so the drive ends up stalling. And really, if you look at it, the problem in that drive was C.J. Stroud missing Tank Dell on the sideline. And so you look at those things. You mentioned the ball security. Yes, Kenyon Green got his ass whooped, but at the end of the day, you slid away from pressure, and literally I think he ended up hitting his own guy with the football that caused it to come out.
Didn't have two hands on it.
Yes, that's Kenyon Green caused the pressure, but that's on C.J. Stroud. That fumble's on C.J. Stroud. And so, you know, these things just keep adding up. Again, I think the mentality of your quarterback is not good relative to the problems that we're seeing this offense have. So I've got to because I understand he is starting with a tremendous amount of pressure and he's missing his two guys. I can't slide into the D range, but I can damn sure get to a C minus right there.
I would say, and I know Tyler's looking at the text line too. I'm seeing a lot of C's and D's on the CJ. Someone said an F for the entire offense, not named Joe Mixon, which is fair. I give Stroud an F. He looked like Anthony Richardson out there. Couldn't hit water if it fell off a boat. From the text line, I give CJ a B just for surviving all of that pressure. Who can make plays with all of that pressure? C.J. Stroud gets a C. He's getting rushed but missed some easy passes and needs to throw the ball away when he is getting pressured heavily. I was in a C-minus range just because the pressure is so not just bad, but every time it seems like almost. And it's affecting him in a major way, and you can see it starting to affect him in a way, Clint, where when he doesn't have pressure, he's skittish, and he thinks he does have pressure, which, by the way, is normal. As you would know. When you get pressured like that, it is normal, and then he is not able to make some of the throws. As we said, fair or not fair, like, I didn't think, Clint, they were going to need him to be a fixer like he needs to be a fixer this year, but they need him to be a fixer, and there are certain throws. Like, he's done it before. He's done it at times. Like, in the red zone in the first half, which led to the touchdown, he got pressure and he hit Tank, the only place he could hit him, to set up a first and goal inside the five when he was getting pressured and had Tank come across. That was a fixer type play to get him there, but it is just not coming enough for them right now, where it's just all up. He is so affected by this, and we said this coming into the game. Teams are not going to do this and going to stop doing this. And the scary part is like, you don't have to have Quinnen Williams to be able to heat up C.J. Stroud. Yeah. Anybody with blitzes, anybody. I heard Laramie Tunsil say after the game, it's the same thing every week: overloads and twist. And they just can't seem to handle it. Because you could have DeForest Buckner, or you could have the Packers, who really don't have anybody up front that do anything. It doesn't matter. It's just stunts and twists and blitzes just seem to befuddle the offensive line, and they're going to keep doing it to him.
And the biggest problem that you're having offensively is again, and I mentioned this last week, is it's not about Kenyon Green versus Quinnen Williams. Yes, that's ugly. I understand that. But the problem is when Quinnen Williams kicks Kenyon Green's ass, your quarterback tries to slide to the right and slide up, and he bumps into two offensive linemen. Like, it's not just one guy. The pocket is clean except for this one guy. Now, I've got room
to move.
I've got room to maneuver to dodge this guy. The problem is your quarterback. One guy's getting beaten. Your quarterback doesn't have room to move anywhere.
So it's
the overall chaos.
He's getting four dodgeballs thrown at him.
Yes, it's the overall collapse of the pocket that's the problem. And so, yes, we can single out Kenyon Green, and we can even single out Kendrick Green because he got hip tossed one time as well by Quinnen Williams. But when it all boils down to it, it's all of them. Kenyon gave up a sack, right?
Yeah, we got.
What they had? He gave up one sack, I think, before he got his shoulder banged up.
Yeah, it felt like it was a lot more. All right,
somebody gave up seven more.
Yeah, and they said Laramie didn't. So somebody,
I damn sure know Laramie did. Will McDonald did four.
It says it didn't. That's
yeah, boy, what they said. Somebody's being partial to 78 once again.
Coming up, Listen, let's we'll get to
Are
the
you
Texans.
Serious?
Yeah, it does. He didn't give up a sack.
Hell no.
He's the only one across the offensive line that didn't give up a recorded
there
at least
ain't no,
half a sack.
Oh, bad back wheel got around that corner. Ain't no doubt.
I thought I remember him doing that too. All right, coming up as it is Football Friday. Big weekend in college football. We go over our three games that we're looking at. And man, I know the Texans are rough right now, but I got to give a shout out to another team, the Houston Rockets. How about them, man? Big time performance on the road yesterday in Dallas. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Home Run Dugout in Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here until 6 o'clock as we're on a Football Friday and a Football Friday in which the Texans played on Thursday Night Football and they lost 21-13 in New York to the Jets as they fall to 6-3 and they'll have a little long break before they get ready for another primetime game
on
Sunday Night Football against the Detroit Lions coming up next week. So a lot to get there. All right, before we get to our college football games, because there's some big ones this weekend. I know Tyler's got his mind on one big one coming up in Columbia, South Carolina. But there you go. I want to give a little shout-out to the Houston Rockets, man. They had that really disappointing first game at home that they lost to, and they blew a lead to the Charlotte Hornets, but they've come back and played good basketball. And then yesterday they go on the road to beat the defending Western Conference champion Dallas Mavericks, and Jalen Green again, who is playing like an all-star right now. Obviously, it's a small sample size, but every night, as we talked about, will he be able to show this level of consistency? Last night he continues, leads the team in scoring, leads the team in rebounds. And leads the team in assist all the way across the board as he was big and made some big plays down the stretch. They had a 23-point lead late in that game against Dallas. Dallas, of course, is the NBA, so they charged back and got it to within three. But then the Rockets behind a lot of Jalen Green were able to pull away there late. Also chipping in as well is Dylan Brooks. He had 17 and probably hit, like, say, the dagger. Little turnaround in the middle of the paint with under a minute left to kind of give them kind of the lead and end that game. Shout out to them, man. They're playing good basketball right now, and I know right now a lot of us are focused on the Texans in football season, but the Rockets, for their quest to get into the postseason, get into the playoffs for the first time in a while, they are really, really looking good, and it looks like we're starting to see who is the number one option. We talked about who is it going to be, him or Sengun, and right now it seems like it's been Jalen Green, and they've put the ball in his hands over Sengun. Sengun has still played well, but it clearly looks like he has kind of been the one thus far. So big performance last night from the Rockets.
Well, you got me convinced. Maybe I need to lean in and watch a little bit. Yeah, clearly last night I didn't catch it. I didn't catch a bounce, but we'll see.
Yeah, you know, I tape it. So it was good for them, man. Good for them. They were big stories on NBA last night. But let's grab that college football music over there for us, Tyler, because this is a big week And we'll save yours, Tyler, because I think yours is the big one around this area and a really, really big one for A&M. But I think maybe nationally, arguably, the biggest game here is number three, Penn State. They're hosting number four, Ohio State, in Happy Valley. I have always thought that Penn State was a little fakish, a little fraudulent the last couple of years. Like, they're all right, but whenever they got to play Ohio State or Michigan, you clearly see a major difference. This year, Penn State looks more real to me. They're the undefeated team. They're the higher-ranked team, by the way. They're underdogs at home to Ohio State in an interesting thing. Ohio State has had some tough games. They had a real tough game against Nebraska all the way to the end at home last week, which was interesting. Penn State has looked a lot better. The better athletes, better team than they have in the past. They look more real. I'm really intrigued by this game to see if Penn State and James Franklin is, you know, national championship worthy or just high bowl game worthy and really benefits because they only play two tough teams a season and they win all the rest.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I think it's a monster game. A big Big Ten matchup. We'll see if I couldn't agree more with you with Penn State. It's been a long time since I've been able to buy into Penn State, and so we'll see if they're for real against Ohio State, no doubt.
Yeah. What game is there? A game that you got your eye on this week before we get to the big game in Columbia for A&M and South Carolina?
Yeah, Ron, there's a couple of them, and it's more about the potential knockoff, right? Duke at Miami, those guys. Duke is a good football team, 6-2. They've scared some pretty damn good football teams this year. And if you look at Miami, three of their last four games have been real scares against lesser football teams. I don't watch all Miami football, but you can argue that they're either playing down to their opponent or they're not as good.
They play a lot of close games against no matter what.
And it is really close. And so I think Duke right there has a chance to upset number five in the country, Miami, which a lot of people think right now, by the way, that Miami is a top one or two team in the country. I think that's a monster game for me. And the same sentiment here, the Florida-Georgia game. You know, Florida's 4-3, local product, DJ Lagway quarterbacking.
They play better.
Georgia's had some scares. They lost one, obviously. This is a real chance in that Florida-Georgia matchup that what do they call that?
The largest cocktail party.
Yeah. There's a real chance here that Georgia could get upset because Florida's always got dudes. And now they got a quarterback in DJ Lagway that's got a little different gear, a little different ability, and it's not his first start, right? He's got a few games under his belt, so that one could get interesting. I think those two matchups for me are good TV, man. One ACC matchup and one SEC matchup.
All right, Tyler, the big game around here. How you feeling today, Tyler, as A&M travels? Listen, they come up with a huge win, and now they travel on the road. They're in the top 10 now. They travel on the road. And as we described it earlier this week, a tricky South Carolina team that had Alabama on the ropes in Tuscaloosa, a team that had LSU on the ropes at home, lost by three. A pretty good football. They blew out Oklahoma last week. How you feeling today as you head into that game tomorrow?
Man, I'm a bit nervous. I can't
lie. Do we
know
who's starting at quarterback yet? Or is Elko still keeping it close to the vest?
I haven't really kept an eye on it the last 24 hours or so. But I want to say we don't know yet.
Yeah, I think he's really playing the gamesmanship thing.
Right
now with them. Yeah.
But the thing is with that, and I really am nervous because this just feels, man, it feels like one of those Texas A&M football games of years past, and hopefully it changes now. But it feels like one of those games of years past that going in, you should have all the confidence in the world to an extent. But this feels like not quite a trap game, but something to that degree. Do you know what I'm saying? It just I'm nervous, man. I'm nervous for the number 10 Aggies going into South Carolina.
It feels like, I think what Tyler's thinking, Clint, is it feels like a game in which you just came off a heavily emotional big game against LSU that you put so much into, and then you go on a road on the road to a team that's putting a lot into the game that you that they're playing with you coming in the town, and you know they got talent and athletes, and you just don't know how these guys are going to come in this game. This is one of the nerve-wracking type of games for a fan.
Yeah, the maroon and white right now, man. I mean, it's just it's got me a little nervous over here. I'm a nervous Nelly. It shouldn't be, but it is.
This is not Jimbo Fisher's Aggies, boys.
You feel good about it?
I feel really good about it. Mike Elko, I think that's a different, obviously culture, different day in, day out vibe with that organization. And this is the game. Last week was the win. To me, last week was the win. I think it's the biggest win at A&M since Johnny beat Saban. And that win last week established A&M as a obviously record wise at the top of the SEC, but as a the way in which they were the more physical team in the second half, the way in which they bullied LSU, you can go back and on one hand count how many times LSU's been bullied by somebody other than Alabama. It just doesn't happen very often. And A&M did that. I'm very confident in Mike Elko and his crew going in there. I like South Carolina. I like their quarterback. But I'm really confident that this is not Jimbo Fisher's Aggies. This is a different A&M football team. I think they go in there and handle their business.
All right, we'll see.
In fact, Tyler, I want $100 on the Aggies.
Okay,
I can do that for you right now. Actually,
I want $100 on the Aggies.
You want minus
put it in there
three?
Now before you fill it up, huh?
Minus three or money line?
No, minus three.
Gotcha. I'll lock you in.
I mean, money line would be fine, but I believe it happens. I believe it happens at a big number.
I'll view them different. If they win this comfortably, they're mature enough to go in and win this thing comfortably. They got a different feel to them.
Yeah,
they got a different feel to them, and it'll set up a big matchup at the end of the year against Texas. All right, coming up. Listen, there's going to be a lot of blame laid at the feet of many people, but I think we know the primary people. I just don't think we need to leave out the major source. We'll discuss that coming up next. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.